You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
First of all, maybe this topic is a little strange, right? Because you're like, I'm trying to get teammates, Ray. I don't need to be, you know, qualifying anybody. I'm just trying to get somebody. Well, I believe it's that kind of attitude that actually prevents you from getting people to join you. If you don't value your time and value who you spend it with, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. And so I'll tell you some of the things that I would look for on how to disqualify a teammate. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, and I would say a teammate, I see a different qualification versus like a coaching client. But I really, in both scenarios, there should be times where you may turn somebody down. I really believe that. And so, you know, here's what I look for and who to actually say, hey, maybe this isn't a fit for you. Maybe this, you know, isn't the right team for you or right timing for you, et cetera. Is if someone comes to me and they come to me with an energy of how bad their last upline was. Like how they didn't, you know, they were just a terrible upline, how much they sucked, how much was wrong with the last company they were part of. If they come in with that kind of attitude, or they come in with a what will you do for me kind of attitude, right? And that happens too. Now, if they come in with either of those attitudes or a negative expectation, so bad attitude, talking about how bad their last whatever was, right? And by the way, this doesn't just apply to network marketing or business. It also applies to relationships. I would be worried if the person you start dating is constantly talking about how bad their last girlfriends were, boyfriends were, wives were, etc. Because if someone tells you how bad so many other people that were involved in their life were, well, there's only one constant, and that's them. They're the only constant, right? And so I don't want to be on some list where, you know, I'm yet another person that didn't meet their expectations. I don't want to be the next person that they badmouth. And so I won't allow them inside without having that kind of talk. And so if someone comes to you and they're looking to join your team, or you've prospected them and they come in and they got this, you know, just kind of a you know, interesting attitude where they're bashing their last company or upline or founders or whatever. And I ask them this question, and this is something you might want to write down, but I ask them this question. I say, okay, cool. Well, I'm just curious. You know, you say that your last upline, you know, wasn't good or whatever. If you had a magic wand, what would the perfect upline do for you? And I want to listen. I want to listen to what they say. Because one trap that I think people fall into is they fall into this trap of, we want to help people, right? I mean, if we meet someone that's hurting, or we meet someone that's had a bad experience, we want to help them. We want to, you know, it's kind of in our nature, you know, for most people, not everyone, but for most people, it's in our nature to kind of like, oh, you know, baby girl, let me help you out, right? Let me help heal your wounds. But you need to step back and find out what will cause future wounds. What will cause future wounds? And so I've had it where someone comes in, they're like, well, you know, or they haven't joined yet, but they're saying, hey, I'm considering joining, but you know, my last upline really sucked, and, you know, just really did this. And I'll ask them a question. If you had a magic wand, what would the perfect upline do? And, you know, there's usually a big pause, because a lot of times they don't even know. They don't even know what their last upline could have done right that would have made them happy. And that's a little dangerous. And so if someone says to me, hey, you know, if I join your team, will you help me? I'll say, well, I mean, the answer, it'd be really easy to say, oh yeah, right? Of course, because of course I'll help them. You better understand what that means, okay? So my version of help would be, you know, if you have a question, reach out to me. I'll do my best to, you know, to answer your question. Their version of help might be me calling them every morning to give them a pep talk. Might be me, you know, flying to their area to help them get their first recruit. I'm going to find out what help means to them. And I'm going to say, well, you know, just curious, what do you mean by help? I want to ask them that question. And so asking them, what would the perfect upline be? And you need to figure out, are you willing to do that? Or does there need to be some correction? And so what I've found is if you can correct the expectations before the deed is done, you can bring them on board and actually still have success. And so I have had, I remember I was on the phone, this was years ago, but I was on the phone with this lady. She was telling how bad her upline was. And I said, well, what could they have done differently? If you had a magic wand, what would have been a perfect upline? And she said, you know, they never reached out to me, not one time. And I said, well, truth is, I probably won't either. I'm probably not going to reach out to you. Now, if you have a question or if you have something that, that you need an answer to or you need help, I'm game. Reach out to me and I absolutely will reach back out to you. Now, if you start producing, if you start, you know, showing up to events and start, you know, bringing people on board or you're showing initiative, then we'll certainly be connecting. But I'm not able to just randomly reach out to every single person on my team and every person that I've recruited. And you know what was interesting is no one had ever had that kind of conversation with her before she joined, and she joined and she was a happy teammate. She was happy. And so you need to understand what are the expectations. Now, when it comes to coaching, at least for me, is a little different, okay? It's a little different for me. And by the way, some people might hear that what I just said about qualifying a teammate before you bring him on board and say, oh, well, that's nice for you to say, Ray. You know, I wish I was making, you know, wish I had lots of money and I can, right? I had that attitude even when I needed money because I valued my time. I valued my time. I don't want to spend time, someone bad-mouthing me and me having to defend that or even pay any attention to it, right? I would rather not bring them in, not get the sign-up bonus, and not deal with that negativity or drama. Or if someone has too much expectations of me, I don't want to disappoint them. I want to be on the hook for their expectations. And so I had that even when I needed money really, really bad. I didn't just develop it once I hit a certain rank or a certain income. Now, when it comes to coaching, some of you are coaches and, you know, you're going out there and maybe you're getting coaching clients or you're wanting to get coaching clients. I'll tell you the big criteria for me. Very similar, if they come in and tell me how bad their last coaches were, same scenario. I'm going to say, okay, why were they bad? What could they have done differently? If you had a magic wand, what would be the perfect coach? I'm going to ask them those kind of questions. I'm also going to listen to their expectations. What are they expecting out of this thing? And one analogy I use all the time is I use the personal trainer analogy. I say, listen, we have a lot of successful clients. I mean, right now we're coaching, $5 or $6 million a year earners. We got, 15 six-figure earners. But over the years, we've personally coached about 150 six-figure earners and about maybe $25 million a year earners. And, so we have that track record, but when I'm talking to someone, I want to find out their expectations. And one thing that I'll use is the personal trainer analogy. I say, listen, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to share with you strategy and tactics and how to think differently and how to make it happen. However, I'm not doing the lifting for you. It's just like a personal trainer. I can't hire a personal trainer and have them do 10,000 sit-ups a day and me get a six-pack. That'd be really cool, right? I mean, who would sign up for that? I would, right? I'd be like, hell yeah. You know, I mean, I've lost some weight, but still a galaxy away from a six pack. But I would absolutely hire someone. If one of you can figure out how to do that and kind of transmute your six pack onto me, then you got a check waiting for you, right? But that's not how it works. And so I make it very clear, hey, listen, I'm going to share with you what to do. I'm going to share with you strategy, tactics. And if they have an issue with that, then it's okay. It's just, I'm just not a fit for them. It's okay. I'm just not a fit for them. It's all right. You don't have to take everyone's money that wants to give it to you. And the other thing, the process that I go through is now that, you know, my wife and I have kind of solved the money deal, right? Like we, you know, we don't stress about money like I used to, right? I've been there. If you're stressed about money, believe me, most of the years of my life, I've spent stressed about money. We no longer have that stress. So getting even large, you know, payments, that isn't what drives me, you know, and we have, you know, coaching packages, you know, all the way up to $59,000. Even that sum of money isn't what like fires me up. What fires me up is creating stories. That's what fires me up. And so when I'm talking to someone, even if they have a large, you know, amount of money they're wanting to offer, if I can't put two and two together that we can create a story together that I'll be able to share and I'll be proud of and it'll fire me up, most cases I'm not going to bring them on board. And I've had some absolute rock stars that have wanted to hire us that we just didn't think that it was the right fit because of different circumstances. And so in both scenarios, I encourage you to take your eye off the short term. So many people, they think so short term, let me just get the money. You know what, I'll just get the money, we'll figure it out later, right? Let's get that money. Instead of focusing on the short term, which is the money, focus on how do you want to spend your time? How do you want to value your time and how do you want to value your life? And if you start doing that, you'll get more higher quality teammates, more higher quality coaching clients if that's what you're after. And that's our process. That's what we do. Highly suggest that you kind of adopt some of that. Be okay with telling someone, hey, this may not be a fit for you based on what you're looking for. This may not be your deal. Be okay with that. By the way, people are blown away by it because most people are so cynical and skeptical. They think that, you know, everyone's just out for the money. Well, who thinks that are the people that are scarcity mindseted around money. Those who have money value their times. They do. And, you know, and that's something that's just important that if you start adopting that process of valuing your time, your life can change.
Thank you for listening.
So hope you got value from this.
Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.